You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning, everyone. This is Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative. And today is a beautiful day. I know it's Tuesday, but I'm still beaming from that Bears win against the LA Rams. We sent them back home with their tails between their legs. Okay, Chicago, if you're listening, you are blessed. For today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and let us be glad in it. I have a guest today that's going to talk to us about homelessness. And his name is Thomas Drexler. He's the executive director of Ignatian Spirituality Project. And I am excited to talk to him because they have an event next Tuesday that we're going to talk about. But first, we're going to just see what's going on in Thomas's life. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning, Deacon John.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Well, thank you for coming down and meeting with us this morning. I know it's rather early and you got things to do, but we appreciate you coming in.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
So you are executive director to the Ignatian Spirituality Project.
Yes.
And how long have you been executive director?
I'm in my 11th year now as the executive director.
Did you come in as an executive director?
I did. For the first 10 years of the organization, we were an all-volunteer organization. And then it was clearly getting bigger than what a simple volunteer corps could handle. So they hired the first two paid staff members, and I was one of them.
And you mentioned, I think, earlier when we were talking, Father Creed is the founder of this organization?
Yes, there's really two founders. Father Bill Creed is a Jesuit.
Okay.
He was working in spiritual direction and training spiritual directors up at Loyola University. He was asked by his provincial to figure out a way how to get the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius to the material poor. Hmm. At the same time, his good friend, Mr. Ed Sherna, who at the time was the executive director of the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless, he was trying to get Father Creed to offer retreats to the homeless population. So the two of them then started this simple retreat program that took men and women from shelters on an overnight retreat rooted in both Ignatian spirituality and the 12-step recovery program.
So tell us a little bit about this 12-step recovery program. How is it mandated, or how do you guys, you know, put it on?
Sure. Well, the 12-step program is Alcoholics Anonymous.
Okay.
And so all of our retreatants are already working, as they say, working the program.
Okay.
They'll be working the steps, mainly those first three steps where you really turn your will and your life over to God as you understand God. And so they have already made a turn to the Lord before they come on our retreat.
Okay.
And then Ignatian spirituality, I mean, obviously it's quite involved, but in a nutshell, it's allowing one to get greater freedom to respond to God's love and God's call. And so using the 12 steps in ridding yourself of all of your character defects, as they say, as turning your life over to the care and will, turning your life and will over to the care of God, and then this growing freedom that one encounters through Ignatian spirituality, a new sense of hope is born in our retreatants, that life can be different, that I don't have to continue using, I don't have to continue making the choices that keep me on the streets or keep me from being my best self. And so there's hope that, yes, things can be different.
So is this even in the homeless population sort of a different type of approach for people who are homeless, but not everyone's homeless because of drugs or whatever,
That's
right?
a great question, yes. Deacon John, really a great question. No, there's obviously tens and tens and tens of reasons why people become homeless.
Right.
One of them would be drug and alcohol use. Now, whether or not that led to their homelessness or whether that continues to keep them homeless, who knows? We, though, only work with those women and men who are homeless and also are in recovery. So if someone's not in recovery from addiction, they normally do not attend our retreats.
Got you. Okay. And so the retreats themselves, are they separate men and women, or are the men and women together in these retreats?
No, we keep them separate.
Okay. And why is that?
Right. It's important that a trust is formed as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So you can really open up, tell your story, and tell it from that vulnerable point in your life. Well, that can be scary. And so we keep them separate, so there isn't any posturing. Women who might have been abused by men and have a very distrust of men,
yes,
that's not
there.
And
vice versa, though.
And, well, no, exactly vice versa.
You don't hear as much women abusing men, but you listen long enough, you'll learn that that happens as well. Yeah.
So often with drug abuse, there's just ruined relationships, wrecked relationships. Mm-hmm. So we find it best to have them gender-specific retreats.
And how often do you have these retreats?
Yeah, well, you know, we're in 30 cities across the United States and Canada.
Wow.
Here in Chicago, we have 10 retreats a year.
Okay.
And then there'll be a follow-up day of reflection, followed by every first Saturday of the month, we invite all of our retreatants back to a day of prayer and reflection and music at Old St. Pat's Church.
Okay. And these retreats, it's almost like once a month. It's not once a month, but, if you're doing 10, then you only have 12 months. So the other 2 months are about preparation.
We don't have any retreats in the summer. We kind of act on an academic calendar. So the summer months are off. And, yes, we are doing a whole lot of prepping and planning then.
Yeah, and yet, now is the time to really concentrate on the homelessness is because of the weather.
Well, the shelters are full, definitely, during the winter months.
Okay. So, Thomas, we're nearing our first break action here, so we're going to take a pause, and then we'll join you in just a few seconds, all right? Or I should say a few minutes.
Very good.
All right.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
We talked to officials of our Catholic hospitals about security in place following the shooting at Mercy Hospital. I visit with survivors of the Our Lady of the Angels school fire on the 60th anniversary of the tragic blaze. The God Squad sets up its manger in Daly Plaza, and we have recommendations on some of the best books you can give for Christmas.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
Cardinal Blaise Supich speaks on behalf of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Now more than ever, it is important that we as a society recognize how poverty and injustice strip away human dignity. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development works with nonprofits, both faith-based and secular, to provide the vital support needed to promote systemic change in our communities.
The annual CCHD collection takes place the weekend of November 17th and 18th. Please give generously to support your neighbors.
Please join me as we work together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to fight poverty and ensure that everyone, especially those who live on the margins of society, participates in decisions that affect their lives, families, and communities. Now more than ever, we need the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Good morning. If you're listening to us, we are on WNDZ 750 AM. This is Catholic Chicago, and I'm your host, Deacon John Cook with the Black Catholic Initiative. And we have today here Thomas Drexler. He's the executive director of the Nation Spirituality Project. And we're talking about, Thomas, the retreats that you've had, and you said that you have them separate, men and women. And I understand that. And these retreats that you do, too, are sort of different in themselves. I know you do one-day retreats, and then you do, like, weekend retreats, right?
Yes.
How do they differ?
Well, the overnight retreat, obviously, it's going to be simply 12 people, 12 retreatants.
Okay.
And then three facilitators, and then one former retreatant who acts as a witness.
Mm.
And he or she plays a really key role on the retreat because they will tell their story, and it allow and really break open then other people's stories. It gives other people to the permission to tell their own story. And it's all rooted in story, the pain, the struggle, but then also beginning to locate God in that story and the realization that even with that pain and struggle, God has been there. There's an encounter with God on the retreat where, you experience his unconditional love. And Deacon John, that changes everything.
Oh,
that experience of God's love.
Oh, yes, it does. It has changed me in my life. So I know very well what you're talking about. So the 12 people, though, the retreatants, is that in the program, the 12-step program? Is that how it was initially set up, or the number 12? Why do you?
That's an interesting question. No, we chose 12 because of group dynamics.
Yeah, I like that number.
That's usually as large as you want to go to still have an intimate conversation with a group of people.
Yeah, I think it's awesome because it's like a small classroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
Kids can excel a whole lot better with smaller numbers than it would be if it was overcrowded.
Right.
So you have some other people, or I should say organizations, that are going to be joining you next Tuesday for this National Memorial for Homelessness.
Right.
And so tell us a little bit about this event itself.
Sure. Well, five organizations came together to sponsor this memorial. And that would be the Ignatian Spirituality Project, a music therapy group that also has a choir of homeless men and women. That organization is called Harmony, Hope, and Healing.
Oh, wow.
And then the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless, as I mentioned earlier, Old St. Pat's Church, and that's where it's located, and then Franciscan Outreach, which is an emergency shelter and other homeless services.
Those are the friends who told us about this event. And had you come to us.
Sure.
So we're excited to have all of you guys involved in this project. So that particular day, what will it look like?
Yeah, it's really a beautiful service. It's a memorial.
Okay.
It's a liturgy. It And what it does is that it memorializes those women and men who've died on the streets, who've died alone.
There's a story that I have here of a Raymond Ferguson. And he's downtown, or was downtown, but he died on June the 18th. And it seems that he was very popular. Do you know this story?
I'm not familiar with Raymond's story, but it's his will be one of 50, 60 names that are read. We'll have a solemn reading of the names.
Okay.
And we'll have a little piece of each person's story to accompany the reading of his or her name.
And so it's an interfaith candlelight vigil.
Yes.
And so what other pastors, churches do you have involved this particular day?
Sure. Reverends Marcus and Robin Tabb will be the presiders.
Okay.
At the liturgy, we'll have readings from Scripture. We'll have a reflection from someone who is currently homeless to tell his or her story and to raise consciousness about homelessness. Mm. We'll have obviously some beautiful music from the Harmony, Hope, and Healing Choir. And then we'll have this solemn reading of names. And during that, then right after the solemn reading of names, we have a candlelight service where one by one, everyone's candle is lit throughout the church. And it's a sign that, yes, people have died on the streets, but we know now that they're with the Lord, and that there can be still hope in this world, because God is calling them to something greater.
You know, it's just something, this situation we're in with homelessness. It's hard to believe that so many people are homeless, Thomas. Give us some demographics of what that looks like here locally and abroad.
Sure. Well, I can speak locally.
Okay.
In the last count that was comprehensive was back in 2016.
Okay.
And in that count, it was just amazing how many people were homeless, over 80,000 people. Now, some of that comes from doubling up.
Okay.
So people who have lost their housing and are sleeping on couches, are, you know, spending some time, you know, in a friend's house. But individuals, over 44,000 would be individuals of that 80,000. Over 30,000 would be families. So families with children that are experiencing homelessness. And then over 11,000 are unaccompanied youth, which is just amazing, the growing problem with youth homelessness.
And you know, Thomas, I've had, I guess, some experience myself just working with a local Chicago public high school, where I learned that this particular student or that student is staying with a friend,
right,
or they're staying with an aunt. They're considered homeless.
Well, in some counts, yes.
Okay.
Because it's housing insecurity. They're not sure that that couch is going to be available.
Wow.
They're not sure that that aunt or uncle is going to be able to continue to afford to feed and house them.
Yeah, when we had Candace Anderson here last week, she's with DePaul. I think it's Incorporated or something like that. I forget. I apologize, audience. But Candace mentioned that, you know, they have college students that are homeless.
Yes.
And I'm asking, how does that happen? How does one go to college and they're homeless?
I believe that organization was DePaul USA.
That's it. Thank you.
Yeah.
DePaul USA. Yes.
No, it's amazing that kids actually attend college while living in shelters.
They not only need to have their tuition paid in full, you know, but they also need to have a home provided for them.
Well, thankfully, DePaul USA provides that housing for at least some students.
That's awesome. Thomas, we're going to take another break, and we'll be back for our last segment.
The words of everlasting. What looks more peaceful than a sleeping baby? I'm Monsignor Mike Boland with Catholic Charities. So often mothers and fathers come to us, homeless, hungry, and hopeless, with a sleeping infant. They remind me of a cold, starry night and a mother, father, and their sleeping infant in Bethlehem. Because of your help, there is always room in our inn and hope. Visit us at CatholicCharities.net. God bless you and Merry Christmas.
Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Supich and Loyola Ramblers chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, and I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to archchicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
This is Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative, and we are in our last segment with Mr. Thomas Drexler. He's the executive director of the Ignatian Spirituality Project. Thomas, do me a favor. I don't think that we mentioned it, but let's get the details of this event for next Tuesday.
Sure. The memorial is at Old St. Pat's Church, which is on the corner of Desplaines and Adams, 700 West Adams, in downtown Chicago. It starts at 6:30 p.m., and it's on Tuesday, December 18th.
Okay, and then if people want additional information on this or even in the future, who can they call? Is there a number?
Sure, you can call the Ignatian Spirituality Project at 312-226-9184, and we can provide you more information on the memorial.
Okay, good. And so people can come and they can participate in that particular event. What if they want to volunteer or do something like that? Same number and so forth?
Sure, sure.
Okay. All right. Well, good. So listeners, if you have an opportunity, please join us on next Tuesday. Once again, it's at 6:30 at Old St. Pat's Catholic Church. I have the address at 700 West Adams. Is that okay?
Yes, that's great.
Okay, good. And so what can people do if they want to join your organization as a volunteer?
Well, the best thing to do would be to call, and then we can talk about the options that are there, from helping out on the retreats to driving folks from the shelters, from creating hospitality.
All right, so we look forward to that next Tuesday. And then I know that, you know, this kind of service is very intimate. In other words, you get to know these people quite well. And that's the purpose, I guess, to learn their stories. You're going to have a reflection this particular day so that it gives permission to other homeless people to share their own stories, right? So, Thomas, what kind of stories have you heard over the years?
Yeah, it's amazing the trauma and the really the baggage that these people carry with them every day. For example, we don't use their actual names, but for example, John.
Why do you got to use John then?
I'm sorry, Thomas. You're trying to be serious.
Okay. So this guy named Thomas.
No, don't use Thomas either. Go ahead.
But when he was born, his mother actually died in childbirth, and his dad eventually grew tired of raising him. And he and his new wife just didn't want to raise him anymore. So he was given over to his grandmother. And that was good. His grandmother was raising him, taking care of him. And then she died, and he really had nowhere to go. And so he couch surfed for a while with relatives, which is pretty common when one is beginning to creep into homelessness.
Right, I get it.
And then eventually started living in garages. And with that came some drug use, especially with crack. And it just grew worse and worse and worse. His addiction was raging. He had no permanent housing. He was in shelters from time to time. And he was near suicide. And in fact, he was ready to kill himself when he, and these are his words, when he heard a voice from God saying, you know, get up, I have things for you to do. And so he got up. He ended up at Cathedral Shelter, and then things began to turn around. And that's when this gentleman first went on an ISP retreat, an Ignatian Spirituality Project retreat. And it's amazing what has happened from then. He came to work with us. He came to be one of those witnesses I told you about. Now he's gainfully employed and doing incredibly well. And he even serves our organization in many ways, one being on our board of directors.
And Thomas, the way that I learned about this, I guess I did some research on you guys before we had you on, but this gentleman, at that time that he heard God's voice, he literally had a gun in his mouth.
It was could have been a very, very tragic event, which I think just shows how... when God interrupts in a significant way.
Oh, my God, yes. And he certainly has a plan for all of us.
He does.
So are there any other stories that you'd like to add?
Just one other, a woman from Chicago who at age 15 ran away, went out to California, and she got involved with heroin. And as we know, that opioid is an incredibly difficult drug to get off of. I mean, the crisis is overwhelming now. But for 23 years, she was addicted to heroin. She was estranged from many of her children during those 23 years. She ended up alone. And by the grace of God, she got herself to a shelter called St. Martin's. And that's where she encountered both Harmony, Hope, and Healing, which I mentioned earlier, and the Ignatian Spirituality Project. So those three organizations really allowed this woman to get sober, to begin to, as I said earlier, to turn her life and will over to the care of God. She started singing and the healing power that comes through singing. And she started going on our retreats. And again, she has come to be one of the witnesses for our women's retreats.
So can we expect to see her on next Tuesday?
Oh, yeah. She'll be singing in that choir.
All right. And the gentleman also.
He'll be there. Yeah.
So it's got to be a joy for you, especially during this time. You know, this past Sunday, I talked about us being John the Baptist, or that voice in the wilderness, that light in the darkness. And your organization, along with the other organizations, are really bringing that voice and light to many people who are homeless.
You know what? Yes, definitely. And you know what's so beautiful about this memorial service is that church is filled with all sorts of people. You have roughly 200 homeless people live in that church. It's church is filled to capacity, about 600, 650 people. It's a beautiful experience.
Yeah, it's a beautiful tree lit up with all types of people, huh?
That's right.
Thomas, we are so thankful that you came in to bring light to this subject. And we look forward to hopefully talking with you again and telling us about the upgrade and the progress that you all are making and the changes to the lives that you're making. Thank God for you. Thank God for your organization and the people that you work with. And we ask that God puts a special blessing on all of those who are homeless.
Thank you for having me, and let's get out to that memorial service.
Amen.
Amen.
Ever think of donating your car?